S-R-A.
But Yogan, what is this place? What is it that you do here? Merchandising.
Merchandising? What's that?
Merchandising. Come, I'll show you. Open up this door. Come, walk this way. Take a look. We put the picture's name on everything. Merchandising, merchandising, where the real money from the movie is made. Spaceballs the t-shirt, Spaceballs the coloring book, Spaceballs the lunchbox, Spaceballs the breakfast cereal, Spaceballs the flamethrower. The kids love this one. Last but not least, Spaceballs the doll, me.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Adorable.
As your leader, I encourage you from time to time, and always in a respectful manner, to question my logic.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. They hear a lamentation of their women.
Let me tell you a little bit about Tyler Durden.
There's only one man who would dare give me the raspberry.
Milk was a bad choice.
Hey, where are the white women at?
And you know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
They don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese?
You can't handle the truth.
You are listening to Cinema Press Briefing.
All right, welcome to episode 88 of Cinema Crespo. So I'm your host, Chris Crespo, hanging out on a wonderful Sunday, September.
What is going on? Total mind fart.
Just right there.
Blanked out completely.
From the inside out, brain just exploded with words. Then there were it was nonsense. That was bad. It might have been a mini stroke. I may have just recorded my first mini stroke.
One of many, I'm sure.
We're going to have to label these for future reference. Mm-hmm.
Mini stroke number one.
That's my co-host, Houston Cockburn.
What's up, bro?
How's it going?
It's Sunday, by the way, sir.
I think it's a lack of...
There's all sorts of funny sports going on right now.
I think it's a lack of all-you-can-eat buffet stuffs.
I'm not going Golden Corral, dude.
Who said anything about that?
Not going.
I just didn't.
It's not gonna happen. Not ever.
Not. I don't know why you're even talking about Golden Corral. That's just a weird way to start the show.
No,
if you
sir.
Ask me. Whose brain is exploding now with nonsense?
My brain's always exploding with nonsense.
That's true. If you want to hear some of that nonsense from both of us, we put out a bonus episode. We snuck it out there last night at Crespo Disco. Go ahead and check that out. This one right before this one. It was all epic songs. Songs longer than 7 minutes. At one point, we spent about 2.5 minutes listening to Mars Volta just go.
That was kind of silly.
That was fun. Hey, they're going to come back any second. We just had to wait for it.
We got to wait like 3.5 minutes for it.
Yeah, well, I didn't think it was going to take that long.
But, you were wrong.
As always. As per usual. But here we go. We're watching the end of Point Break.
It's a Sunday. It's on TV. Why not?
There's fantasy sports going on somewhere in the world that other people don't really care about. Drew and I are both in the baseball fantasy playoffs. It's pretty funny.
I don't know how that happened. I drafted and I didn't really touch my team all that much.
It's all luck.
At all.
I didn't do much
of anything.
That's how I do. You could end up. You could be the winner of the swag bag.
I could be the champion.
You ever get a swag bag? Have you ever? Never getting one?
I don't think so.
No?
No.
I have to get you a swag bag one of these days.
I don't want one of those shitty swag bags.
What are you talking about? They're awesome. People love them. People love... They're highly sought after. You know how many requests I get for people who want us to send them swagadiso?
How many? Like 3?
Something like that. Somewhere around there. Well, thank you very much for checking the show out, for downloading and listening and hopefully sharing and letting other people know. If you're downloading on iTunes, please rate us and review us there. That would help us a lot. As a matter of fact, I got some iTunes reviews that I think I'm going to read them in the second half of the show.
Some reviews.
Let's see what some people are saying about the show.
It sucks. Those guys are assholes.
That would be weird because it's a podcast.
5 stars.
They seek us out.
Like I said, 5 stars.
Hey, as long as they rate it 5 stars, they can write whatever they want. They can give us a recipe for potato salad.
Nice.
As long as it's a 5-star recipe. You know what I mean? 5-star rating.
I get it.
If you're listening on Stitcher, I'm pretty sure there's a way to like rate and review the show on Stitcher as well. Add us to your list of favorites. Even if you don't use that feature, just add us. Because that helps our Stitcher ranking. And basically, all these ratings and reviews and all that stuff, what it does, Drew, is that it helps the show be seen by more eyes. It pops up on lists, you know, like hot podcasts, hot shows, list top type of stuff, up and coming, things like that. Mm-hmm. New and noteworthy, those type of things. And people might be more likely to click on it and check it out.
Very nice.
People who might be more likely to give us a negative review, which would then be, because I really feel like, hey, if you don't get some haters, if you don't have any haters,
you're doing something wrong.
You're doing something wrong. You haven't reached enough ears. Our mouth words haven't penetrated enough ear holes.
We need to change that.
So that needs a changing, and we need your help to do it. So please rate us and review us on all different platforms. Let people know that we're out there and encourage them to check us out, because that's how the world
encourage
goes.
Encourage them to let us into their ear holes.
Yes.
We'll be gentle, we swear.
Maybe.
It's a lie.
That's a lie. That's a lie. All right, so here we go. Let's. We got a lot to talk about. We got movie news. We got questions. We got all these things to do. But first, wait, I like the Sodari show. Netflix instant pick of the week. Let's start that sucker up. Every week we do a different Netflix instant pick. Last week was the fantastic Bloodsport, a movie I rated 5 stars on Netflix because I just love that movie. It's insane. Not necessarily a 5-star movie. Not in the real world, but in my world, it totally is. We'll see what this week's pick is, and Drew is getting that out of the Crespo Diso Randomizer 9000 right now. And then it'll go up on chriscrespo.com. You can go there and see all the past picks, as well as the future picks. Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Week, 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 week.
Return of the Dragon. Also known as The Way of the Dragon.
Oh, I thought you were going to...
I know. Whatever.
You just spit it out.
I just spit it out this time.
Oh, okay.
Just switching it up.
Oh, hey.
Only because when I clicked on it, something weird happened this time.
Well, what happened? What do you mean?
Tells me to get the app when I just clicked on it. You know, normally I would click on it and it would give me a little synopsis about what it's about and, you know, would you like to watch it?
Because you're doing it through the mobile website?
I think so.
Now it's like, get the app.
Yeah.
Fucking annoying.
Yeah.
But Return of the Dragon, a.k.a. Way of the Dragon.
Yes.
All right. Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee. Very good stuff. This one is notable for a couple reasons. There's the movie takes place in Rome. He's visiting. Bruce Lee's character is visiting like family. He's helping them out. They're running a restaurant in Rome, and he's going over there to help him out for something. I don't even know what's going on.
Chinese restaurant in Rome?
And they're everywhere, man. Chinese restaurants in Maitland, right? In Winter Park?
Yeah, lots of them.
Chinese restaurants in Rome. And he goes there to help him out, and they got some problems with the local, like, crime bosses pushing him around mm-hmm. and, you know, being dicks. Bruce Lee shows up. He ain't handling that shit, right? So he puts them all in their place.
Whoops some ass.
And starts some problems, you know, with the local crime types. And then they're like, we got to take care of this dude. We got to take care of this guy. He's a pain in the butt. He's kicking our guy's asses. That's when they get they hire number one karate champion in the world, some guy, whatever. Having to be played by Chuck Norris.
Nice. Yeah.
And the movie ends with Bruce Lee versus Chuck Norris at the Coliseum. They fight in the Coliseum.
I mean, Chuck Norris loses, unfortunately.
Oh, I mean, it's a Bruce Lee movie, not a Chuck Norris movie.
No.
Yeah. There's a sweet part where he rips off a patch of his chest hair.
Sweet.
And then he, like, tries to blow it out of his hand, like that, but then it gets stuck in his fingertips, and he has to, like, brush it off with his other hand.
That's kind of gross.
That's kind of gross. Like, it was a hairy guy, that Chuck Norris.
Yeah. Well, it was a different time.
Different time. It was the 70s. So that is technically, yes, a different time.
Yes.
Cannot argue with that statement whatsoever.
That's why I said it. An inarguable statement, sir.
Inarguably different. Okay. Excuse me. All right, so that's our pick of the week. It's a little bit of kung fu, chop sake, martial arty action.
With Bruce Lee.
The final complete Bruce Lee movie, because after that, he had started doing Game of Death, got a couple scenes done, went and did Way of the Dragon, finished that off. Before he go back and did Game of Death, he died.
Poor guy.
Went into a coma while taking a nap at his girlfriend's house, which I'm sure was a surprise to his wife.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ignoble ending for a noble fellow. All right, well, so here we go. What are we doing? What's going on here, Drew? Are we doing a show? Is this thing on?
I think we're doing a show. I'm pretty sure we're about to start reading the box office review.
All right. That's what we pay you, the big bucks. Keep us on track.
You pay me?
The big bucks.
Where are these big bucks?
Well, first you got to get promoted to washing lettuce.
And then I can get the big bucks.
Then, after you do that for a while, then you'll make assistant manager. And that's when the big bucks start rolling in.
Coming to number six this week.
Number six!
The Drop. Dun, dun, dun. Had a weekend gross of $4.2 million. Same as the total. A budget is unlisted on Box Office Mojo.
Modestly budgeted, I'm sure. Looked like about a $15-20 million dollar
movie. It was only in 800 theaters.
Yeah, compared to the other movies that are like 2,000, 3,000 theaters.
Yes.
Only 800. That would be considered a limited release. A bigger one, but still, it's under 1,000 screens. So it's a pretty limited release. So $4.2 million on that.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad. That's not bad. I'm sure that's actually got to be around what they expected. Because first off, how do you sell this movie? They sell it as a crime drama.
It kind of is.
Right? About some money getting stolen from a bar. And
a drop bar.
Gotta take care of it from a drop bar. This whole thing about the drop bar.
It's called the drop.
They always got to define what the drop bar is, so it all makes sense. But when you watch the movie, it's really a little more character-driven.
Yeah.
A little quieter.
There's a puppy.
There's a lot of puppiness going on, which is fantastic. We can talk more about the puppy in a second. I think movie is kind of a hard sell because it's that type of, like, you know, middle budget adult drama. It's going to be an R-rated movie.
Yeah.
Because of the subject matter. It has touches of violence here and there where it gets pretty...
pretty crazy.
Pretty gruesome. It can get gruesome, but it's not often at all, you know. It's weird. It's a Dennis Lehane novel.
Yes.
Guy does a lot of crime stuff.
Uh-huh.
Stuff like The Town.
Yes.
And so it has that kind of like pulpy feel to it, you know, where it's just like we said, it's a crime story
stuff,
type
of
thing. But I don't know, before I go to Rotten Tomatoes, what did you think of that?
I thought it was pretty good. I thought, I didn't too much care for Mr. Hardy's accent, but at least he kept it the whole movie.
Yeah, it was shady.
He didn't get rid of it, though.
Yeah.
He really committed.
He was doing a higher register, like Brooklyn, I'm from Brooklyn type thing. But he also sounded like he was doing a bit of a Christopher Walken. I really thought it was like, he sounds a little Christopher Walken-y.
Really?
Like, he's reading this, like, what if Christopher Walken was from Brooklyn? And how would he read these lines? It wouldn't have been so noticeable if he didn't have voiceover narration over a whole lot of the movie.
It was his story.
It was his story. It was the story of Bob.
Yeah.
Bob
and his puppy.
Sacalicious?
Something like that.
Sacagawea? Something, right?
I don't know.
I mean, he's good, but yeah, the accent's like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Well, otherwise, yeah, I mean, he's
good. Gandolfini was good.
Gandolfini.
I mean, Noomi Rapace was good.
He did his thing where he breathed heavy out of his nose. She was fine. Who was that? That guy that played the crazy guy?
I forget. I don't know who
that
guy is.
The guy played Mr. Deeds. I don't know what that guy is.
Nope.
He was pretty good. You have crazy eyes.
Yeah.
So it's, so like some guys steal some money from the bar.
And they gotta find out.
And they gotta find out who it is.
Kind of.
It really gets to be a lot more. You know, I found it funny that when they took the money from the bar, it was only $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, go find my money. You know, and I was like, it's only $5K.
Yeah, it's not shit.
My guys. Yeah, it really isn't much. Like, it's more of a, how do you say, on the principal.
Yeah.
You know, principal sort of thing. Like, they just well, that they I took mean, some money. Doesn't matter how much it was.
Yeah.
Right. The Chechens.
The Chechens.
Give you a little lesson on how people from Chechnya
are called Chechens.
Chechens. Because you wouldn't call people from Ireland.
Irelandians.
Irelanders. Irelanders.
Right. Yeah, they're Irish.
Right. Chechens.
Yep.
Is that racist, then, to make Chechens a bad guy? Why do Chechens always got to be the bad guys in these movies, huh? See, now, what about Chechen? The Chechen Americans are going to be like, fuck this movie.
I couldn't tell you, man. Maybe
someone's got to be the
bad
guy.
Maybe there really is a Chechen mafia somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure there is. All sorts of mafias. Yeah. Mafiosos.
The whole Eastern Bloc, man, they get a bad rap.
They do get a bad rap.
I tell them the Bulgarians or the Chechens or the
Yugoslavians.
Yeah.
Is that still a country?
Maybe. I don't know.
Ukraine.
I'm not up on my Eastern European political boundaries.
Post-Soviet
political boundaries, yes.
Et cetera.
Not really up on that.
So you liked the movie? You thought it was good?
I enjoyed it. Yeah. For what it was slow-paced. Like you said, character-driven.
Yeah.
But there were a couple of twists and turns. I kind of saw them coming. But, you know, whatever.
For the most part.
No.
For the most part, I saw most of them coming. And then when the final, like, little twisty-twisteroo happened, I was like, yeah, that makes
sense.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But you said you saw that all coming.
Oh, I saw the final twisteroo. I saw that in, like,
right away.
The first third of the movie.
Way earlier.
Yeah, way early. I was like, oh, I know what's going on here.
That makes sense.
No.
Would you recommend it?
I mean, if you're into the crime stuff, if you're into character movies, if you're into Tom Hardy, I would definitely recommend seeing it in theaters. If not, then wait till you go home. Wait, DVD.
I mean,
Netflix.
I thought it was okay. It was good. I didn't think it was bad. I felt like it's kind of light, kind of very just very pulpy. Just that it's just a little story. Not much to it.
No.
Definitely for me, more of a, I would even say it's a Redbox type of thing, or see it on an airplane, or Bright House On Demand, or whatever on demand services you may have. Not saying we're sponsored by Bright House or nothing. Bright House wouldn't sponsor
we're
us.
Not.
We can, we'll take the free internet.
Oh, yeah, we will.
So I thought it was good. Let's see what it says here in the Rotten Tomatoes. We're looking at a tomato meter score of 88% out of 100 reviews.
Okay, so they gave it 8 out of 10, 4 out of 5.
Average rating, 7 out of 10. 7 out of 10. There is no shortage of similarly themed crime dramas, but The Drop rises above the pack with a smartly written script and strong cast. So there you go. According to
the cast was good.
The Rotten Tomatometer. All right, here we go. What's going on next with the box office?
Number five this week, Let's Be Cops, $4.3 million, total of almost 73 on a budget of 17. Damn, they made some money.
Oh, man, the network is on. They followed up Point Break with Network.
Well, that's a weird double feature.
That is a weird double feature. I feel like we should stop doing this just so I can watch I Love Network. Let's Be Cops is sneakily, we talked about this before, it's very sneakily making money. People are quietly going to see this thing, to have their laugh at how a white guy abuses the power of being a police officer,
and how a black guy is very uncomfortable
and
with it all.
And how the black guy is extremely comfortable with it all, and even black guys giving a Chinese name to even muddle up the whole ethnic thing even more.
Yep, a black guy named Chang.
You think they really thought that hard about that when they wrote this?
I don't think so.
Probably not. They're just
they thought it was funny. Black guy named Chang. Coming in number four this week, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles had a weekend gross of $4.8 million, total 181.04 on a budget of 125.
$181 million, goddamn, that's a lot of money for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
For a garbage piece of shit movie.
Yeah, dude, I'm
not very good at all.
And I'm surprised when I hear people say like they liked it or...
I'm really, seriously, some people out there that really anybody... I mean, I hate to knock these people, but
we hate to knock you people, but here
if,
it comes.
If anybody likes this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, like actually liked it and was like, yo, like that movie was good.
That movie was dope, yo. Let's go see it again.
We should make more, or we should go see it again.
Can't wait to see the second one.
You're a fucking idiot.
Aww.
And you have really bad taste in film.
Aww. Take that. He said he didn't.
Coming in number three this week.
He said he didn't mean to knock you people, but and it is at over $300 million worldwide, so. expect that Turtles sequel. They did say that they're going to bring some Dimension X elements to the sequel. So,
I mean, this Shredder was awful.
It was awful.
Well, yeah. The Turtles were awful.
Yeah, it was pretty awful.
I mean, April O'Neil was awful.
I would almost, at this point, rather see an awful Krang in a Technodrome than no Krang.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Can't even give me a Casey Jones.
Code number three this week, Guardians of the Galaxy. Still in the top three, all these weeks later.
Goddamn!
We can gross to $8.4 million, total of $305.9, budget of $170.
The first movie to break $300 million at the U.S. domestic box office this year after Frozen did it in January.
And it seems to be, I mean, dude, this, I guarantee you we'll still be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy next week.
$305 million domestic, $305 million international, comes out to math.
$600 million.
When we add up all the little debt, $611 million, $526,000. Goddamn. Huge amount of money. Congratulations.
It's an awesome movie. To Disney, it is an awesome movie.
And Marvel, the little studio that could.
And Groot was the unexpected killer of the
Groot
world.
Groot is the unexpected cultural lovable.
It's thing. Not Rocket Raccoon. Everybody loves Groot.
I thought it was going to be Rocket Raccoon.
How could you not think that?
I thought it was going to be a little talking raccoon.
Yep.
End up being a big dumb tree.
Coming to number two this week.
Here we go.
Dolphin Tale Dose.
Sweet.
$16.5 million. Same as the total. Budget of 36.
That's my dolphin.
Is that the sound that's the dolphin makes when you try and rape them at SeaWorld, Chris? You're the guy who keeps jumping in the tanks naked with the dolphins, aren't you?
I'm the guy who keeps jumping in the tank naked with the dolphins. Yes, that's me.
I knew it.
But not to rape the dolphins.
Liar.
It's to communicate with them.
You just want
to
molest them?
We are working. There's two dolphins in that tank, and we're working on a three-part harmony. we are doing all covers of Weird Al Yankovic songs, a cappella.
Uh-huh.
Me and two dolphins. We're going to take the show on the road. I just got to figure out a way. A... to get them to harmonize. B, to get them out of the tank. C, to book a whole tour. And then D, sell the tickets. That's all I got to figure out.
And how about E, how you're going to get people to want to see you naked in a tank with two dolphins singing?
No. I have to do it naked at SeaWorld because I can't be leaving pieces of my clothes behind the fibers, you know, because then the crime scene people that can come find me. When I do the tour, I'll be wearing a skin-tight dolphin suit. The gray wetsuit.
With dorsal fin on the back.
With dorsal fin on the back. And it's going to be in the dolphins. Yeah. And we're going to be three-part harmonizing Weird Al songs on the road.
I think that's even more disturbing.
We're going to hit every single
state. What I thought you were doing.
We're going to hit every single state. All 50 states. And then when we get to Alaska. No. Hawaii. I'm going to set them free. In the waters.
Coming to number one this week.
Watch them get, wait. We didn't even talk about the movie Dolphin Tale 2. On Rotten Tomatoes, got 73%. 73% positive out of 52 reviews. 6.1 out of 10. So.
Well, it has God in it.
Much like its predecessor, Dolphin Tale 2 offers animal antics and sweet old-fashioned drama that the whole family can enjoy.
Lovely.
Sounds like a bunch of barfaroni to me.
Exactly. Coming to number one this week.
Here we go. Number one.
No Good Deed.
No Good Deed.
Had a weekend gross of $24.5 million.
God damn.
Seems a total budget of $13.2.
On no money. Itty bitty little budget.
All the money probably went to Idris Elba.
All the money went to Mr. Elba and to his stuntman.
Other than that, they just had, you know, it was just, I'm sure it was just him in a house.
It was him. A couple houses.
I didn't see it. You did.
See, now you see the little Bill Cosby. Now you see the trailer shows that as he's like, okay, he's on a prison transport and he gets out.
Yeah. And then he shows up at this chick's house.
Shows up at this chick's house and he's like, I crashed my car. Can I use your phone? And then he's just all of a sudden just starts
crazy.
Goes crazy and like, yeah. and invades the house. And the trailer makes it seem like the whole movie is like her running around trying to hide out.
Or kill him, one or the other.
Or kill him while he's like stalking her.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what really happens is this. All right, I'll just get into what the movie's about. The movie starts with Idris Elba going to his parole hearing for a manslaughter charge.
Uh-huh.
Right? And he doesn't get granted parole because that guy goes on this long rampage, long diatribe about how he's a malignant narcissist and all this shit.
Uh-huh.
And so he gets denied. So on his way back to prison, he like kills the two guys in his prison transport van, and he gets the fuck out of there. He drives from Tennessee to Georgia, where his ex-fiance lives,
mm-hmm.
and like he spies her, like eating, meeting some dude somewhere, some random guy. So he thinks right away, like, "Oh, this is some dude that she's fucking."
Yeah.
So he shows up at her house, terrorizes her for a little bit, and then kills her. And he kills her in a way that's like, first he's choking her, like he's gonna squeeze the life out of her, and then at the end, it's like he just gets tired of that and he just breaks her neck.
Uh huh.
But then he throws her on the ground and then grabs either a phone or a lamp and then smashes her face like four or five times on top
of
that. Yeah, it got really, really over the top.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's a crime of passion right there.
Crime of passion. So that happens early on. And then he's driving in the rain, gets into a car accident.
And then you pick up.
Then he goes to the house where he's in the trailer and he's like, can you use your phone? But then it's weird.
I'm gonna play with your kid.
He doesn't immediately go crazy. He's like pretends to use the phone and get a tow truck. And it's raining, so she's like, "Oh, why don't you come inside?" Because he's also bleeding. He's mm-hmm. like, "Let me help you out." And he's like being nice and everything. And there's like there's a nice little stretch of tension there for like, I don't know, like 20, 30 minutes, maybe a little bit longer, where she's trying to go about her night and help this stranger out. You know, the whole time this guy's a psycho. And things are going to go bad. So you're just waiting for things to start going bad.
Yeah.
Any second. So I think it actually did a pretty good job of stretching that part out. And then it goes beyond him just then chasing her around the house. There's like the end of this one part where they leave the house and they're going somewhere else. And then there's like this whole big reveal at the end, which isn't like a big, big reveal. It's one that makes sense and actually ties everything together.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually thought the movie was okay. It wasn't bad. I saw it in the theater. That was kind of full. I think a lot of sassy black mamas were in there.
Mm-hmm. Who really loved some Idris Elba.
They enjoyed the Idris Elba, for sure. But he was, like, the character really was such a psycho. And he played it so well that they were cheering for Taraji P. Henson's character, for the lady. They were cheering for her. So... and Idris Elba's character throughout the movie, she hits him on the head four times, maybe five times, with different items.
Mm-hmm. Nothing works.
The first one should have worked, but it didn't. But they slowly do start working, I guess. Stabs him a bunch of times here and there throughout. Like, he keeps getting hit in the head and stab, hitting the head, yep. and stab. And then he just keeps coming like a monster. Yeah. It's pretty funny.
Just like Jason.
It was really funny, actually.
No matter how fast you run, Jason will catch you walking.
Yeah, exactly. He's that kind of movie bad guy. And especially towards the end when they have their final like go at it. The people in the theater were like seriously cheering her on. Like whenever she got a blow in or did something, or like, yeah, you're fucking like clapping and shit.
Yeah.
And I was laughing. It was delightful. It made it better for me.
What does the tomato meter say?
Okay, yeah, so the tomato meter, because I would say, now would I recommend the movie? Like, no, I wouldn't say go see it in a theater. It's a dumb, you know, kind of like a dumber version of The Drop, where it's just pulp.
Mm-hmm.
You just show up to see a fun thriller. It's definitely a red box, seat in an airplane, that type of thing. I would give it, like on a scale of 1 out of 10, I'd give it like a 5.
Okay.
Like right down the middle.
Tomato meter.
Yeah, okay, so here we go. See what the tomato meter says. Out of 25 reviews, not many reviews, 12% of them are positive, for an average rating of 3.2 out of 10.
Yeah.
Dull, derivative, and generally uninspired, no good deed, wasted stars' talents, and the audience's time. So yeah,
boom.
It depends on what you show up for, I think. I don't think it's that awful. I'm sure there are much worse movies playing in theaters right now, let alone this year. Like I said, Don't run out and see it in theater.
If I stay, the November Man, the 100-foot
Journey. November Man is worse.
When the game stands
November,
tall.
November Man is so much fucking worse.
As above, so below.
I haven't seen those above, so below. I'm sure When the Game Stands Tall is worse.
The Identical.
Yeah, I'm sure that one's worse.
Transformers Age of Extinction.
Like, seriously, November Man. You know what? Yeah, I would, if you gave me a choice, like, which one of these two movies would you want to watch again? I'd watch the 80-something minute No Good Deed over a 2-hour and 40-minute Transformers.
Formers.
Transformers.
I get it.
Out of date.
Yep. Uh-huh.
I don't know why
I understand.
So, yeah, there you go. No No good deed. I think the critics are just racist as well.
They're racist. They hate black people.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Do you hate black people, Chris?
No, I love them.
But you're a critic.
Yeah, but I love black people. I'm a critic of the people.
Of the people, for the people, by the people?
Yep.
What are you, some sort of...
Nope, don't say it. Don't want to get sued. With the guy of actual power to do it. What do you? What we got here? What's going on now with the... Oh, wait, now it's on me. New movies come out on DVD. We got... The Fault in Our Stars. Drew can finally... You can rent
oh,
this
I can
movie.
Finally watch the Oxygen Mask Romance.
Yeah, Oxygen Mask... Oxygen Mask Romance.
I love you, but I have cancer, and I'm going to explode like a grenade.
I'm dying. So you can finally...
Just because you're dying doesn't mean I don't love you.
Doesn't mean I don't want to do things to you.
Sexually.
You can finally rent it and watch it in privacy of his own home.
I'm looking forward to that.
Seeing him cry.
It's going to be a tearjerker.
You can do a double feature with that. And Think Like a Man too.
Oh, sounds awful.
You can make that a triple feature and finish it all off with a little bit of Godzilla.
Ooh, Godzilla's awesome.
So there you go.
Fault I'm in for stars. One of that triple feature.
One of those three. Okay.
So, one of those three I'm in for, yes.
So Drew's going to see The Fault in Our Stars. I'm going to watch Godzilla. Damn it. And no one, I guess, is going to watch Think Like a Man too. What's coming out in theaters? Drew.
Coming out in theaters this weekend, The Maze Runner.
The Maze Runner.
It looks, you know, of all these silly
teenage dystopian future
movies that have come out lately, this one actually looks interesting.
It does look, has a good, pretty good premise, yeah.
Oh.
I'm interested in seeing the erector set spiders and the constantly changing maze.
Yeah, I hope a lot of people are going to get crushed by the maze and eaten by the spiders.
Looking forward to some PG-13 crushings of adolescence.
Also coming up.
Hopefully signifying the crushing of their dreams as they enter the real world.
Also coming out this weekend, This Is Where I Leave You.
Why? Where are you going?
No, that's the name of the movie.
The show's over? The show's over, Drew.
The show's over. This is where I leave you, Chris. Drew. This is it right here. No, I'm just going to take off my headphones, finish my beer.
We didn't get to 100.
I'm not coming back for the second half.
We're so close to 100.
This is the end.
I hate when movies have titles that are whole sentences. I mean,
it'd be better if there was a question mark at the end of it.
Subject,
this is where I leave you?
Predicate, this is where I leave, comma, you?
You?
Question mark? Yeah, it makes me think of, like, she's out of your league. Right, that's another one.
Something like that.
What's the other one? I used to walk around Blockbuster and try to have a conversation with myself by reading movie titles.
You mean like the next movie that's coming out this week? A Walk Among the Tombstones? That's a full sentence.
That's a full sentence.
Yeah.
It's missing a noun.
It's the new new Liam Neeson's being badass old man movie.
He's like, I've got to find someone who got took and killed, and I got to find him.
Yep.
And who did the tooking.
And I have to kill them all.
And I have to do the killing thing. Good old Liam Neeson's.
Doing his old man action thing.
Doing his old man badass thing. That's going to be pretty cool.
I'm looking forward to it.
Unlicensed Private Eye.
Yes.
It's a subgenre of a genre of movie. You got their Private Eye movies.
Yeah, unlicensed Private Eye movies. Unlicensed Private Eye. I'm just a guy who likes to kill people illegally.
I'm an illegal private dick. Is it a private dick? No, it's a private
murders
eye.
Murders people.
His dick is detective. Yeah, private dick.
His dick's private?
P.I. D.I.
C.K.
C.K. Pie dick. What does that mean? Does that mean something? Is that
also coming out this weekend?
Does that mean something to anything?
New Kevin Smith movie, Tusk.
Ah, the one where Justin Long plays an American podcaster.
Yes. And apparently he turns into walrus?
In Canada.
I don't understand that, but okay.
All right. Thank you, Kevin Smith. Maybe it's a movie about his own battles with his weight.
Perhaps. Maybe he thinks when he goes to Canada, he becomes a fat, lazy bastard.
All that poutine, yo.
Yeah.
Delicious potato with gravy and a cheese of curds.
And lastly, coming out this week... The new Terry Gilliam movie starring Christoph Waltz, The Zero Theorem.
Zero Theorem. Finally, hopefully, get a chance to see this movie. It'll probably be a limited release.
Looks really fucking interesting.
Next weekend. It does look very interesting. $8.5 million budget. Looking forward to seeing what Terry Gilliam did with such a small budget. I'm sure he was able to do a lot.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of Christoph Waltz. And as I've mentioned on the show before, the screenplay for this movie was by this fellow, Pat Rushen, who is a professor over at University of Central Florida. I took a couple of his classes. So I am kind of pulling for this movie a little bit. So
that you are.
Full disclosure. Not like I talked to the guy or anything.
Yeah,
but,
no.
You know, but still, pretty cool.
That is.
Pretty.
Who knows? Maybe the Gremlins prequel will get made one day.
Maybe.
You and Billy Dee need to get on that shit.
They're already working on a. They're working on a Gremlins thing, and they don't even got Joe Dante involved.
But it's not
in it,
yours.
So.
Yours is infinitely better.
I know. That's why it's not gonna happen. That's why. It can't happen. The better versions can't be made.
Yes, or we would have had Jodorowsky's Dune.
Jodorowsky's. Oh, I'm gonna watch that documentary again.
So do I. Actually.
Just yeah. Okay, so here we go. Let's take a break.
I want to get my hand on that book.
The book.
Do they sell the book?
I
want the book.
I don't think so. Do they?
I want the book. I don't know. I'll find out.
Amazon that shit. Crespo Disco time. We got a couple of songs here. In the 80s, they used to do this thing in movies that was a favorite trope of mine. It's when, around the middle of the movie, when something happens to the main guy, not in the beginning, but usually something happens to the main guy, the hero, like someone dies or somebody knows it's in the hospital, and he's sad and he has to figure out what to do next. So he'll either start driving around or he'll just start going around town like on buses or stuff, like looking out the window while a whole entire song plays 80s style, you know? So I got two examples of that here. I'm talking about Bloodsport last week.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scene where Van Damme's character is going around town and he's like seeing Chong Li and reflections and stuff. And there's a Stan Bush song called On My Own that plays the whole time. It's like a music video with Jean-Claude Van Damme in it. So
what?
I'm going to play that song. And then in
Jean-Claude Van Damme music video.
And then in Rocky IV, there's a scene where Rocky, he's after Apollo Creed dies, he's like, I got to go fight the Russian. He gets in his car.
You got to go what the Russian?
I got to go fight the Russian. And he gets in his car.
What
and,
the Russian?
I got to go fight the Russian. And,
it sounds like you're saying something else.
And this Robert Tepper song called No Easy Way Out starts playing. And it's Rocky and he's driving around really fast and it's close of his lights. And then it's like it zooms in on his face as he looks down. He's like thinking about Apollo Creed, and it's hysterical. So, there you go. Enjoy these two songs. If you're driving around, even better. Crank it up. And we will be back with the second half of episode 88. You know, if you look at the two eights together, they're like snowmen.
What about snowmen?
We'll be right back.
Face alone, your private room. know how we feel inside. Instead of going down an endless road, not knowing if we did or lie.
All right, second half of episode 88 is upon us. There's nothing we can do about it. It is here. So here we go. It is me, Chris Crespo, hanging out with you, Skogren.
What up?
So give me some applause. Oh, shit. No.
Was that thunder? Was that horses? Was that gunshot? Did you shoot me? Did I just get shot? I think I might have just got shot.
That's polite applause is what that is. We got a lot of different stuff to talk about here. If we can try to figure out a name for this episode along the way, that would be great. I want to keep that in mind, Drew.
It'll happen eventually. You gotta let it happen organically, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it.
It just happens.
It doesn't just happen, though. Not every week. Some weeks I'm sitting there like, what the fuck am I gonna... What the... Anyway. They don't just flow forth. As you think they would. It was easy in the beginning.
Not so much in the end.
88 titles later. Let's get the plugs out of the way. ChrisCrespo.com, already mentioned that one. News, past episodes of the show, Netflix picks of the week, things like that. You can go there for all that stuff. You can also hear us on iTunes and Stitcher. We just did a Crespo Disco. Last week you did Dr. Drew's Two Cents on Religion. Was that the week last week?
Something like that.
Good times. Check it out. And yeah, you can tweet the show at Crespo Disco. Like us on Facebook, Cinema Crespo Disco. Instagram, Cinema Crespo Disco. Email the show, cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. Drew.
Chris.
Can the people locate you on the interweb somehow?
They can.
And how could they do so?
They would have to find me.
Okay. All right. Find him. Find Drewster Cogburn. Might be a little tougher than anything. Actually, it should be very easy.
You'd be surprised how easy it is.
You'd be surprised how easy it is, especially if you can find me on Twitter at @IamChrisCrespo.
Are you?
And I am. Definitively, I am Chris Crespo. And also on the Facebook. You can find me on there too.
Is your name Chris Crespo on the Facebook?
Yes.
Is that your real name, or is this just some sort of podcasting alias?
No, I want real name. I want real name the whole time. Like Drewster Cogburn.
Yeah, I would totally want legal represented name. 100%, yes. It's what it says on the birth certificate.
We have to ask to see that birth certificate, sir. We're going to need to see that. Alrighty then. What movie is that? Name it. Alrighty then.
Nope.
No. The Mask. Right?
Right.
No. Yes, Ventura.
Yeah. No. Yes?
The Mask.
Ace Ventura.
Okay. Man, get my early 90s Jim Carrey movies mixed up. That is a sign of aging right there. The distance between myself and those movies. That just means I need to rewatch them.
You're an old man.
You're an old man. You're an old man.
You're older than I am. There's no denying that.
God, this is
guy. This guy with his facts. How dare you?
Well, you know what? You know what old men like me like to do?
Tell about the truth. What? Listen to smooth jazz?
Listen to smooth jazz.
On Sunday afternoons.
A. Like to listen to smooth jazz on Sunday afternoons while you eat soft-boiled eggs. B. I like to go see movies based on the Christian Mingle website.
Excuse me?
Excuse you? No, you're excused.
Thank you.
You have nothing to do with
what
this.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Christian Mingle the movie. It's not even like planned or an idea. It is made.
Excuse me?
There's a what? There's a trailer.
Is it called Christian Mingle? Is that the name of the movie? Please tell me it is. Please tell me that's the name of the movie.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, look at it. It's called Christian Mingle.
Oh, man. Good Lord. What is it?
Let me see. I'm getting this from... This
wacky experts of a group of Christians getting...
Yeah, go ahead and
Give me a stab at wasted and sexy in the Lord's name.
Give me a stab at the...
So no premarital sex. Or maybe lots of it.
Actually, I don't think there is a plot description. It's a movie about Christians using the website to meet up. I think the woman pretends to be Christian.
Ooh.
And she's really bad at it.
Ooh.
And then the guy is an idiot. So he doesn't realize she's pretending.
And all his friends are like, damn, she's not Christian. This isn't in the God, in the name of our Lord.
You know the shortstop from Major League?
No.
He was also on...
What's his name?
L.A. Law.
I'm on IMDb. Give me his name.
Corbin Burnson.
Corbin? How do you spell that?
C-O-R-B-I-N.
No, his last name.
B-E-R-N-S-E-N. That was my Siri impression.
Corbin Burnson. Oh, him. Okay, him.
He directed Christian Mingle, the movie. Poor guy, hey, he got paid. Maybe he wanted to get in on the Christian exploitation phenomenon.
He used to have so much more hair.
Yeah. I'm sure he loves it when that's the first thing people think of when they...
Well, I haven't seen him in a long time.
Old Corbin Burnson, working behind the camera making Christian Mingle movie. We're there, man. We're going to see that shit.
No, we're not.
We are...
I really don't want to.
Going to go... Okay, here we go. Denzel Washington getting into the remake game. He's made other remakes. Man on Fire is a remake
of
Man on Fire.
Okay,
late '80s Man on Fire. What else did he? Has anything else he done been a remake of anything? I don't think so. Come on, we're just taking so long. He is.
What's he remaking, Chris?
Oh, sorry, it was taking forever to pull up. He's Antoine Fuqua, the guy he did the Training Day with, and the Equalizer is coming out. They're going for their third movie together. They are going to remake The Magnificent Seven.
Ooh.
Wait,
so Denzel and a Western?
Denzel and a Western. A, that's awesome. If it will be a straight-up Western, it may not be. Because The Magnificent Seven is a remake of Seven Samurai.
They may just update it.
They could do, yeah, it could just be a modern, like, crime type of movie, but with seven dudes.
Yeah.
But somehow still maintaining that same story about a group of seven, like, outlaws being hired to protect a group of people, like an underarmed group of people.
Yeah.
You know? Could be like a mercenary, refugee type scenario. Who knows?
It could be a lot of things.
It really is a bare bones type thing. But, I mean... Magnificent Seven itself is a remake of a movie, and they wanted to make sequels of that, and I think it was even a TV show, and ridiculous how much life was birthed from a remake of a samurai movie, from Seven Samurai. So Denzel's getting in on it with Antoine Fuqua. What would make... Okay, so he's got to be one of the seven. We got to fill out the other six dudes.
Ooh.
This would be a good time to get our Denzel Washington, Liam Neeson team up.
So the Neesons.
Because you gotta think, the original Magnificent Seven was like Yul Brynner, James Coburn, Charles Bronson. It was ridiculous, you know? It was like a lot of like the who's who at the time of Badasses. And a couple of young guys. Got to get a young guy in there. So maybe this Hemsworth kid. But the kid, not the older one. He was already in Expendables. Maybe someone else.
Yeah, no, I don't want him in that movie.
Hey, I'm just trying to throw one out there for the ladies. How about a Ryan Gosling type?
Ooh. Sure.
He could be the Charles Bronson one. Bronson was the quiet guy who didn't talk much. He used his knife. And Ryan Gosling loves not talking in movies.
Yeah, he really does. Well, you know, I kind of like him not talking in movies too, Chris.
He might be at his best when he's not talking. He's just standing there.
Yeah.
Just looking. That would be awesome.
I mean, you could throw anybody in there. You could throw in but it all depends on how they're going to go with it.
It does depend on the direction they'll go. If it's more of a Western or action movie, bank heisty type of thing, or what if they make it a samurai movie? That
Denzel in a samurai movie, that'd be crazy.
What if they just play Japanese characters? Acting. It's just acting.
Yeah.
They're acting. You know? Right? I'm just saying.
That might be weird.
That would be weird. Okay.
Denzel could be Afro Samurai.
Hey, that was cool. Afro Samurai was really cool.
It was.
So, you know how there's always been now for years, thanks to the internet, a problem with spy photos on huge Hollywood productions?
Yes.
So there's always, you see pictures out there of people in their costumes, like smoking cigarettes and eating sandwiches. And that's the first time people get to see stuff from the movie, right? Someone put out some iPhone photos of what was supposedly the new Batmobile.
Okay.
So Zack Snyder, the DC people, Warner Brothers people, they're like, well, we don't want this to be the first image of the Batmobile out there. So Snyder went ahead and tweeted out a picture of the full thing. There you go, Drew. That's the new Batmobile right there. Look at that thing.
Oh man, it's like a
Tumbler on crackeroids.
Yeah, but it's even more a little more Batman-y than the Tumbler was.
It's more it's got more like things shooting off, like wings on it type of thing.
Yeah,
like the wheels stick out to the side.
Giant freaking Gatling gun up front.
Oh shit!
Good lord!
Here we go.
That's crazy.
Versus the world. The Batmobiles got crazy guns, shooting rubber bullets. I guess we'll know soon. March 2016.
A long
time. It's crazy. Pretty crazy looking. I wasn't a big fan of the Tumbler. Do you like the Tumbler?
I mean, I thought...
What's your favorite Batmobile? Real quick, before we do Drusa Cogburn versus the World Spartan Round, let's rank the Batmobiles. We got... And I want to go back. I want to include the 60s Adam West convertible.
Yeah.
The fins.
That was pretty badass.
Yes, that thing's pretty badass. Oh. So you got that. You got the... First Michael Keaton one.
It's not bad.
We'll combine the first two both Michael Keaton ones, right? Which is essentially was a Corvette with wings on it.
Yeah.
And then like a
broken set. Weird big thing up front.
Weird thing up front, shot the fire at the back.
Yeah.
And then it broke off into like the little sort of like a bike type of thing. I guess. Anyway. The Joel Schumacher ones took that design. The fins kept getting bigger.
Bigger.
Added colors.
Weird stuff.
By the fourth one, the Batman and Robin had like black light shit on it and everything. Yeah. Very weird. And then Tumbler, which was pretty much the same all three movies.
Yeah.
So, go.
I mean, number one, I'm going to probably go with the original Batman. Not the Adam West Batman, but Batman 1 and 2.
1989, 1992
yeah.
Batman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then I'll go with the Adam West one.
Okay.
Then the Tumbler.
Okay.
And then all the weird ones.
Then the Schumacher ones.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I'm gonna agree with that. There we go.
But I did like the Tumbler because it made, you know, Nolan's Batman was very real, you know.
Yeah, real world, right?
Real world stuff. So I thought that was an appropriate Batmobile for this Batman series.
Hey, especially now with the militarization of the police being a cultural topic, you know, it's even actually a little more fitting than ever.
Yeah,
having a fascist vigilante is a female centric superhero. A fascist vigilante like Batman would have a insane car like this, or a huge car like a Tumbler, with an intimidating gun in the front.
Yes,
that he's not supposed to be a killing dude. I mean, I don't know.
Well,
rubber bullet to the eye could
Batman
put someone down.
He's still gonna hurt you.
I guess we'll wait to see how it is in action and present it in the movie.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But just at looking at it, I'll place it around the Tumblr level. It just looks like a crazier...
Like I said, it looks kind of Batman-y because it's just the way the tires are up front.
Yeah, that's an interesting detail there. You can go ahead and just look. You can look that up online, people. It's pretty easy to see that. I'll save that story. This one, I think, what are you, 9-3 after losing SBK?
Correct. That guy's got my number, man.
That's because, I think beat him once, I think, right? I think he may have beat him once.
And he's beat me like three times.
Three or four times. Three times, I think. That's the battle. That's the battle right there. So we need to warm you up here. I got a pretty good game for you. It's a brand new game we haven't done before, but I think we're going to do quite well. This game's called Roll Call.
Roll Call.
I'm going to give you three character names.
Okay.
You tell me the movie. For example, if I say Han Solo, Princess Leia, Luke Skywalker, you'd say
Star Wars.
All right, so here we go. Number one, Robert Paulson, Marla Singer, Tyler Durden.
Fight Club.
Correct. Number two, Kobayashi, Verbal Kint, Kaiser Soze.
The Usual Suspects.
That's correct. Number three, War Child, Bodhi, Johnny Utah.
Just watch this, Point Break.
Point Break, okay. Number four, Trinity, Morpheus.
The Matrix.
Neo, all right. Number five, Kyle Reese, Sarah Connor, John Connor.
Terminator.
Number six, Margaret Yang, Herman Bloom, Max Fisher.
Oh man. Was it called Election?
Oh, Rushmore.
Rushmore.
Number seven, Syndrome, Frozone, Elastigirl.
The Incredibles,
right. Number eight, Clarence Boddicker, Dick Jones, Alex Murphy.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Ooh, RoboCop.
Ah, Murphy.
I work for Dick Jones. Dick Jones. His name's not Red in RoboCop. It's Clarence Boddicker. Number nine, Argyle, Hans Gruber, John McClane.
Die Hard.
All right. Number 10, Genghis Khan, Abraham Lincoln, Beethoven.
What is that? Was it one of the Bill and Ted movies?
No, give me one of them.
Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. No,
Excellent Adventure. Well, you got most of them. Seven. You stumbled on that last one, so that's eight. Right? Not bad.
There was a lot of Keanu Reeves in there.
Two Keanu Reeves in there, at least. Point Break and Matrix. I thought you
Point would... Break, Matrix, and Bill and Ted.
Oh yeah, and Bill and Ted at the end. Oh, yeah. Have you seen the John Wick trailer?
Yes.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Check out that trailer, people. That movie looks good.
Yeah, it does. It's crazy.
It's apparently it was directed by a couple of stunt choreographers.
Okay.
One guy that's worked with Keanu Reeves on the movie he directed, Man of Tai Chi, that's on Netflix, and another guy that has been Keanu Reeves' stunt double.
Okay.
For many movies, so. I guess they all got together and they all work in tandem and they made this movie about this dude, John Wick, who's like, you know.
He's just a crazy guy.
Just a crazy guy. Some stereotypical. It's like
It's a stereotypical, yeah. I got out of this life, but now you're bringing me back into it.
It's like Equalizer. Yeah. All right, here we go. A little crazy stoppage there for a second, but we're back. It's all these movies look badass. Check out the John Wick trailer. I wanted to show it to you, but I'm glad you've seen it. You know what I like about it?
What?
You can see there's a lot of action shots in there.
Yes.
Because it's an action movie. Where he shoots multiple people, right? Mm-hmm. Like two or three people in one motion. And the camera doesn't cut around. It's not jumping around. It's not a lot of quick cutting. It's just like it's just holding the shot.
Yeah.
And you can actually see what's happening. So
a lot of people get shot in that trailer.
It's very promising. Very promising looking movie. So right, here we go. We're talking about Tusk. That Kevin Smith movie?
Yes.
Right?
It comes out next weekend, apparently, somewhere.
Apparently, And in no small part, likely because this movie is getting some decent reviews. Uh-huh. Kevin Smith has made his peace with movie critics.
Really? It took him freaking long enough.
Yeah, I feel much better now that we can... Kevin Smith is cool enough now that we can be buds again. This is from Slash Film. Some interesting stuff in here, but I wanted to put it out here. Let's see. A lot of filmmakers get frustrated by negative reviews. A few have been blah, 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 blah. Following the critical drubbing of 2010's Cop Out, Smith declared that the entire system was upside down and declared he wouldn't screen his films for critics anymore.
Bullshit.
Well, his following movie was Red State. Didn't show it to critics. And then he made Tusk. However, that one has been shown. And it says here, it looked like he's softened his stance against film critics. Rather than blast the haters, he professes to being delighted that anyone likes it at all. Smith recently hinted at his updated opinion when he retweeted Variety's positive review of Tusk. Speaking with BuzzFeed, the director described the moment as a big breakthrough. He continued. Here's a little bit of a Smith quotery.
Okay.
It was such a crazy emotional moment where I got a little wet-eyed just by virtue of the fact that for so long I was so fucking angry. It was nice to let go of that. I'm too fucking old to fight or care anymore. I'm old enough now to know some people are going to like it, and some people are not going to like it. And that's way easier to say with something like Tusk, because yeah, some people are not going to like it. I'm more shocked that anybody likes it. I'm delighted. Now that's a big 180 from when Cop Out came out.
Yeah.
And people shat all over it. Because it's a horrible movie, mm-hmm. You know, and Kevin Smith took it personally. And he went on this huge diatribe and... So this Kevin Smith guy, the critics make his career when he puts out Clerks. They're like, oh, this guy's awesome. We love him. Everyone check him out. And he gets a big career out of it. And then he makes some crappy movies. And the critics are like, oh, Kevin Smith, what happens? And he's like, fuck you. But now he's a 40-something-year-old pothead.
Yep. And now the critics like his movies again.
And he's like, oh, fuck it, man. It's all like, whatever, bro. He's making a movie with his daughter and Johnny Depp's daughter starring together.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a couple
really
playing shock of all shocks, convenience store workers in Canada. For some reason, he's fallen in love with Canada lately. He's all...
Maybe he wants to get fat.
He wants to get fat. What does that mean? Get
stay,
fat.
Stay fat.
A little bit of talk from Carl Urban about another Dread movie.
Really?
No, really. He says if they get to make another Dread movie, that's him and Alex Garland, the writer-producer of Dread, the next film would likely be a prequel and help establish, you know, get the story going of how Mega City 1 came together, the whole judge system, blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
Introduce a lot more elements to the world and I guess tell a little bigger story, but in the same vein as a Dread movie.
Very nice.
So just wanted to throw that out there. Power of the secret. If we think positive, it will happen. Think positive, Drew.
I'm thinking positive.
We mentioned this before in the show. They're making that TV series based on Minority Report. Mm-hmm. And we got a little update on how they're going to approach the story.
Okay.
Okay. So you remember Minority Report. There were the three precogs.
Correct.
There were two boys and a girl.
Yes.
Tom Cruise made off with the girl precog.
Yes.
So there's still the two dudes, the two boys.
Okay.
This show is going to be about one dude, one of the two, and a detective, a female detective, mm-hmm. who hooks up with him and uses him to. You right there?
Yeah.
Your computer went out.
Yeah.
Stupid.
It happened.
A female detective uses him to help, like, you know, pre-crime stuff.
Sweet.
So it's like an inversion of Minority Report with the
pre-crime.
They flip the genders.
Law and Order pre-crime.
Law and Order pre-crime. Yeah. Pretty much. On Fox.
Sweet.
Because they own it.
That's what I always never wanted.
And, okay, here we go. We got a question on the Facebook.
Book of Faces. I don't understand why you carry around that Book of Faces, man. It's really creepy.
It's really weird.
And it's starting to stink.
People sign it, though. I make them sign it before.
It's so weird.
The facing. This is from Chris Ellis, a.k.a. Stone Terrible from Forget That Yo Radio. Check those guys out. Pretty awesome. ForgetThatYo.com. I was impressed with your female Ghostbuster picks. Bill Murray had the same ones. You heard about that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Last week when we had Kevin on from SBK Live Show, and someone asked us about casting the female Ghostbusters 3 movie. And really, I got to give all the credit to Kevin and Drewster over here.
Yeah, we were pretty dead on.
You were the guys that said it. Emma Stone, Kristen Wiig, and Melissa McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
All three of those, Bill Murray said those three would be good. And then the fourth person he put out there was Linda Cardellini.
Yeah.
The chick from Grandma's Boy and the Scooby-Doo movies. Mm-hmm. You know, which I like her. She's funny. So good job, guys. And that really, really, though, it proves one thing. Bill Murray listens to the show. So thank you, Mr. Murray.
Thank you, Bill.
We appreciate...
We do. We love it.
We appreciate you listening and tuning in. We look forward to having you in the studio...
Soon.
So we can just hang out, man, and we'll maybe have some drinks, and we'll just shoot the shit. I promise you not to ask a single question about you or your career.
Ever.
It'll just be us hanging out. Like a bunch of bros.
Broing it up.
Chris Ellis also went on to actually ask a question. How do you feel about Mel Brooks movies, and what are your favorites? I gotta go with Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles is amazing.
Love Blazing Saddles.
It's quite possibly the best of them all.
Yeah. Quite possibly. Now, he had that run there where he did Blazing Saddles, mm-hmm. Young Frankenstein.
Which is good.
Spaceballs.
Spaceballs is amazing.
And there's like another movie they did during that time period where she's like, oh man, this guy was firing on all cylinders there.
No.
And it's escaping me right now. I think maybe just because of the timing of it and my age and all that, my favorite might be Spaceballs. Mm-hmm. I love Spaceballs.
Spaceballs is awesome.
So good.
But for me, it's Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles is really good too. Oh, but Young Frankenstein is so funny also. The Frodric. Igor. Frodric.
I get it.
I love it.
I get it. So I know. It is. Igor's hump keeps moving from side to side.
What hump? Yeah. Ugh. Robin Hood, Men in Tights is good.
It is.
Not as good as those movies.
No.
But that's like a slightly lower level.
Young Dave Chappelle.
Yes, young Dave Chappelle. Playing Achu, father of a sneeze. Yes. Son of a sneeze.
Yes.
Carrie Elwes from Princess Bride.
Correct.
Yep. And that guy.
That guy.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that guy. Okay. So, I would go Spaceballs. Well, those movies in general, just those. That bunch of movies there. Blazing Saddles, Up Through Spaceballs.
Amazing.
Vintage. Mel Brooks. If you ask me. And you are, because this is my show. Well, we got one of those. It's time for, you know it, brand new segment. You know what I'm talking about, Drew.
Do I?
Brand new, third time segment now, brand new. Here we go.
I got nothing.
Billy D's Death at the Movies.
Sweet. I'm ready to die.
Okay. Let's see here. Let's go ahead.
So, what died at the movies this week, Chris?
Well, that's for Billy D to know, and for us to find out, right? Now, hi, dudes. First, a humble retraction from last week. I realized I watched Cheap Thrills via Amazon Prime and not Netflix.
Oh,
my apologies to anyone that may have looked for it and thought I was full of shit. 2-5. So here you go. So Billy gets one of these. He gets the.
Sorry.
Only one sound thing here at a time.
I didn't plan on that.
But now on to this week's. Oh, he wrote it out. So now on to this week's Death at the Movies. Okay, here we go.
Death at the Movies.
You can't. Okay. Here we go. Blue Ruin, definitely, absolutely on Netflix. This one's on the list, on my list. Been meaning to watch this one for a couple weeks now. Billy writes, holy crap, Blue Ruin. Featuring a cast of no-names in the backwoods of Virginia, this movie really kicks some ass. Grim is the first word to use when talking about this movie, but it doesn't even really begin to describe this revenge thriller, the dark night of movies about hobos with shotguns.
Sweet.
Stay cool, Billy D.
I like it. Yeah. I like the sound of that.
Blue Ruin, I've been reading about this movie. I've been seeing the title pop up on this thing we called Interwebs.
The Intertubes.
And I'm like, oh, we gotta see this movie. It's a series of tubes. And Blue Ruin kept popping up throughout these tubes. And now it's on the Netflix. I've been wanting to watch it. Now, according to Billy D, we gotta watch it.
Yes, we do.
So, and we gotta get on that Amazon Prime to check out.
Do we have to?
That Cheap Thrills. Well, if we want to see Cheap Thrills, I want to see Cheap Thrills. Don't you?
I mean, kind of.
You should. Believe he said so.
Well, if he says so.
Okay, well, that brings us to... Oh, you know what? I said that I was going to do this at the top. So before I forget, remember, on iTunes, you want to help us out? Rate the show. They have a star system. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stars. Rate the show. Let people know what you think about us. Write a little review. I have some reviews here. We got a couple of recent ones, Drew.
No, really?
Like, here's this one from Mike Mosquera. He wrote, gave us a 5-star review titled, Crespo is the Man. Thank you very much. He writes, another reason to love SBK is my introduction to Chris Crespo. Great movie taste and insight, Fangas. So, once again, all hail our overlord, Soul Brother yes. Kevin.
Overlord is correct.
Thank you to him very much. This is from a week ago. Another 5-star review, just simply titled "Wow" by Negana Crack. I think that's I'm saying that right. This show is great. Yeah, look, how would you say that one? The second review from the top. How would you pronounce that name?
Yeah.
That's how you pronounce it. Yeah.
Negana Crack.
This is from Optimus 7, 5-star review. He titled it SBK Fan. So again, you know, a lot of our listeners come from SBK Live.
Yeah.
All hail SBK. We appreciate it. Love hearing this guy in SBK, and I'm looking forward to his podcast. This is from May. I hope he's still listening, because it sounded like he was just getting into it. And still gave us a 5-star review. Thank you, sir. And then you can do, you know, you can write about how you heard about the show. Like, a lot of these people let us know that they heard about us through SBK Live. You can let us know how you found us. We would appreciate that. Yo, this is a good one. This one's from Twombly4. We know who that is.
Yes, we do.
At Caleb Twombly on Twitter. Shout out to that guy. He writes, absolutely awesome 5-star review. I just recently started listening to Senator Crespo, so after hearing them advertise BK Live Podcast, I'm overjoyed to say it is rapidly becoming my favorite podcast on the interwebs. As a film major, I love being able to listen to a couple regular guys talk elevatedly about films, but not pretentiously. I feel like I could sit down and drink a beer with Chris or Drew, and it makes the listening experience that much better. Cinema Crespo, so you guys rock. Thanks for keeping me company. I'm going to trek back and forth to school every day. Caleb, we'll have a beer with you anytime to talk movies, because that's what we do.
He's got
to
be in Florida.
We're drinking beers right now. He is in Oklahoma right now, in school in Oklahoma, and spreading the word out there in the middle of the country, we hope. Thank you, Caleb. We appreciate it. That was a long review. They don't have to be that long. For example, this one's from Rush's Shake. 5-star review. Titled Fangas. He writes, great show. Great reviews.
Sweet.
That's it? Yeah. But that's all I need sometimes, you know? So, hey, if you want to help us out, leave them reviews. If anyone leaves some new reviews this week, I'll go ahead and read them on the next week's show. How about that? How's that sound? Sound a good time? Sound a good time to you? Sound a good time to me?
Sounds good.
All right. We're going to end this sucker with a lightning round for Drew. Drew, sir, you ready? Start the clock. Here we go.
Go.
Number one, fantasy sports, yay or nay?
Yeah, yay.
Number two, barbecue beef, good or bad?
Awesome.
Number three, do androids dream of electric sheep?
Yes.
Number four, are cornrows better for mazes or hairstyles?
Mazes.
Number five, milkshakes or milk duds?
Shakes.
Number six, what you gonna do when Hulkamania runs wild on you?
Defend myself.
Number seven, where's the beef?
In the fridge.
Number eight, will you listen to the new U2 album placed in your iTunes account?
No.
Number nine, Kiss, Marry, Kill, Sizzler, Ponderosa Steakhouse, Golden Corral.
Kill them all.
Ooh. To the fourth option. And number 10.
Everyone murdered.
And finally, number 10, bonus word association round. I got 10 words here. I'm just going to say the word. You tell me what associates with it comes to your mind. You ready? Here we go. You ready? No. Number one, sports.
Basketball.
Number two, ham.
Bacon.
Number three, garbage.
Dumpster.
Number four, I can't read that. Cheeks.
Beef.
Number five, muffins.
Blueberry.
Number six, swimming pool.
Fun.
Seven, Hyundai.
Elantra.
Number eight, steamroller.
Marijuana.
Number nine, a Velcro.
Space.
Number 10, Chia Pet.
Green.
And that is the end of the show. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate it. Thank you, Drew.
Very welcome, sir.
And we're out of here, guys. So we'll be back soon with episode 89 and whatever bonus episode we're doing this week. I have no idea. But we will figure it out. Peace.